हरे राम 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 हरे हरे मुखाकरोति वाचालं पंगुर्लं गायते गिरिङ्यर्किपाथमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनधारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम् श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की श्री श्री निताय गौर की शिला प्रभुपाद की संगवेद भक्त वृंद की All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Lord Jagannath. This morning, at the temple, His Holiness Mukunda Swami Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, he has very kindly explained the esoteric significance of this form of Lord Krishna. In this Krishna conscious philosophy, which is dating more than 5,000 years, been handed down by a chain of spiritual masters since time immemorial, it is understood that there's one supreme Godhead, one supreme Lord, and that He lives in a spiritual world which is eternal, which has no birth, death, no old age, no disease, no creation, no destruction. It's eternally existing. We are living here in a material world. This material world is a little corner in the huge expanse of the spiritual sky. And there are millions and millions and unlimited universes within this material world, and we are in one planet in one of these universes. But the Supreme Lord is very merciful, and He descends from the spiritual world into each and every universe in different forms. And He has His pastimes. 5,000 years ago, that original Supreme Lord, the one that Lord Jesus said is His Father, the one who is worshipped as Allah, the one who is worshipped as God Almighty, that eternal supreme personality, the supreme powerful, is described as the source of everything. He's the most beautiful. He's the most rich, the most famous, the most detached, the most intelligent and learned. He has got all of these qualities in full. At the same time, He's ever youthful. In the modern world, everybody wants to be youthful. They paid $25,000, they have a facelift. But the Supreme Lord doesn't require that because He never grows old. He has an eternally youthful spiritual body. So when the Lord comes down into this material world, it is a period when the whole world becomes peaceful. The whole world becomes in harmony by His presence. And He performs many wonderful activities which normally nobody can perform. Therefore, they are known as miraculous. For Him, they are just everyday activities. Like He lift up mountains. He went and took one of His devotees outside of the material universe to the causal ocean. He did so many wonderful things that we cannot even begin to enumerate here. So, one of the things He did was He went on a special journey with His brother and sister by chariot with so many other devotees, and they went from His house to a sacred place of pilgrimage called Kurukshetra. And there He met His auntie. He met His cousin brothers, He met all of His friends, because when He appeared in the world, He appeared in a particular family. And so He was playing the part as if He was a member of the family, although the great wise men knew that actually He was the Supreme. He also went to meet His childhood friends who came there to meet with Him. And in this way it was a great reunion. So this is a festival of Rath Yatra. It's a reunion festival. a festival of love where long separated loved ones are all united. And we see that during the Rath Yatra festival, people from all over Australia have come here on this 30th of December to celebrate this festival. So it is really a great reunion, and everyone is united in this loving affection. When Krishna met his childhood loved ones after a very great separation, their emotion, of course, was so intense that it became a great focal point for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here, these two deities in the front, Lord Chaitanya's to your right, and Lord Nityananda to the left, they appeared 500 years ago. They were the great spiritual masters who started this process of congregational chanting, group chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Actually, Hare Krishna was chanted for thousands of years, but it was a kind of secret mantra. No one was allowed to chant it but high priests. But Lord Chaitanya, originally they used to chant it Hare Rama first, but he said, well, the restriction on chanting this mantra to only high priests is when you chant Hare Rama first. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna first, and everyone can chant it. And if you chant this mantra, it will liberate your consciousness. It will give you great spiritual strength, and gradually you'll be able to achieve all kinds of spiritual perfections. You'll be freed from all kinds of obstacles. So this is a very wonderful process of meditation. One can meditate using yoga asanas and chant this mantra of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Or like we just did, you can be in a whole group of people chanting with drums and cymbals and various musical instruments. Or as we're going to hear in a few minutes from His Holiness Ramaya Swami, he'll be doing even rock mantra chanting, which is a modernization, utilizing modern electronic audio equipment to accompany the chanting. Or if you want, you can go into a very silent place, and just we have also meditation beads which you can get, and you can chant on the beads using the sense of touch. The idea is to fill our consciousness with transcendental vibration. Previously, people could just empty their consciousness by breathing exercise and gradually bring in thoughts of God. But today, that's very difficult because our mind is already filled with so many other thoughts, so many anxieties, so much stress. So the easiest way to fill our consciousness with transcendental thoughts is by vibration. Just like people turn on music, but you get tired of the same song. Just like I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for about 27 years now. But I never get tired of the same song. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. This vibration goes on giving energy unlimitedly. So Lord Chaitanya, he was the one who came 500 years ago to this world to expand this process. He said, if the whole world begins to chant this, people will start to love each other because they're going to love God. And when they love God, they're going to realize that everyone is a part of God. Everyone is a part of Krishna. And this way, they're going to also love everyone else. They're going to be freed from so many of the miseries of life at the same time. So he said, I've given this chanting to everyone. I'm not asking anything for it. Only thing I'm asking is utilize it and make your life perfect, chant, and in this way, your life will become sublime. Now, when Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, we heard how first when he saw this beautiful form of Krishna with the beautiful lotus eyes, the big round eyes, the smiling face, he immediately became ecstatic and he became overwhelmed with love for Krishna, and he fell in front of the temple, in front of the deities, unconscious. Now the priests of the temple, they thought that this is a madman or something. What's he doing falling down in front of the temple? And they wanted to have him arrested. They wanted to beat him and throw him out. But one very wise priest, he said, no, let me analyze, let me take him, because he could see some unique features in his body. So they had him taken to his house, and there he examined, he found he wasn't breathing. He wasn't breathing, there was no heartbeat. It's as if he was dead. But then he took a piece of cotton, held it by the nose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he found that it was slightly moving. Then he could understand that this is a very great devotee who has become in trance. He's in samadhi, he's in a very deep trance, a very deep spiritual meditation. And he tried various ways to revive him, but no one could revive him until the devotees of Lord Chaitanya came, and they knew the secret how to revive Lord Chaitanya. The only way you could revive Lord Chaitanya was by chanting the names of Hare Krishna in his ears. What did they have to chant? Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna. If you don't chant louder, you're not going to revive Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! In this way, the devotees chanted Hare Krishna and Lord Chaitanya came back to consciousness. Now Lord Chaitanya, you can pay some money and put on a set of glasses and suddenly you can see a whole new reality and gradually your mind adapts. Like that, we are the living force in the body and this body has been adapted and our living force is seeing everything through these senses. But even this body dies, we don't die. We just leave this body and go on and take a new life. That's called transmigration of the soul. You can read about reincarnation or transmigration of the soul by getting one of the books called Coming Back or The Second Chance. Actually, every one of us may leave the world with an unfulfilled desire, so we get a second chance to fulfill it. And if we don't have any more desires when we leave this world and only desire is to be with God, to be with Krishna, then we go right back to the spiritual world. That's the secret. So the devotees, by chanting, they gradually fulfill all their desires and build up spiritual desires to be with Krishna. And that is the program, so that after this life, we go back to the spiritual world. The Lord Chaitanya showed us that by living the pastimes of the Lord through these various festivals, we can literally be part of Krishna's transcendental pastimes or drama and get purified. So he would have all of his devotees involve themselves very actively in the meditation, in the performance of these festivals. Now when Lord Jagannath would be moved, like in Jagannath Puri, this festival has been observed for thousands of years. Now here we have Jagannath deities that we can move by carrying them with a group of devotees and bring here. But there the deities are over 6 or 7 feet tall, over 2 meters in height. Each deity weighs hundreds of kilos. So how to move the deities? They tie big silken ropes around the deities and many, many people together gradually lift the deity from their high altar down and gradually the deity is slid across the floor, kind of walked across. They actually tilt the deity a little forward, then tilt backward, tilt forward, and gradually he edges forward. They have to take him down hundreds of stairs. When they take down the stairs, they put big pillows underneath each step. So when he goes from one step to the next, he goes on the pillow explodes, and the fillings of the pillow go flying up in the air. And this way, behind the deity, there's a very big fan about 3, 4, 5 meters in height, which moves with the deity while he's being rocked with big silken ropes. In this way, hundreds of attendants are moving the deity from step to step, pace to pace, with the ropes. In front of the deity, they have got hundreds of people waving these white chamar fans, like he's waving here. You have to multiply that by hundreds. And in front of him, in front of those row of fanners, they have another row of hundreds of people beating on gongs, and they're going boom, 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 all in unison. So you can hear this. It's a very pageantry kind of great pageantry to see the Lord come out to His chariot. I had the good fortune of witnessing this ceremony in Jagannath Puri some years ago. And then finally, when they get up to the large chariot, there's a ramp that goes up. The particular year when I was there, they were moving Balaram up the ramp, and you would see all these pujaris are only half the size of the deity. The pujari mean the various priests that were moving the deity. And there were literally hundreds in front pulling and dozens behind. All of a sudden, the deity started slipping down halfway up the ramp. And literally you saw people look like they're going to get crushed. But somehow, just at the last minute, the deity was held and then brought up to the top. Then there's a special ceremony where the hereditary king, now who is the last descendant of the previous kings of Orissa. Previously it was the ruler himself, now there's no kings in India, so he's the descendant of the ruler. He's like an honorary ruler. He comes every year on horseback and elephant riding, and he comes up to the chariot, and with a gold broom, he sweeps around the rath, the chariot of Lord Jagannath. And this ceremony is still observed. The present Gajapati Maharaj, the descendant of the king, is very favorable to ISKCON. He came to our temples in Europe, and he visited the Sri Mayapur temple, our world headquarters. And there he spoke how much he appreciated ISKCON. And every time you get the opportunity of going to Jagannath Puri, many times the king gives a special place inside the security robes for the ISKCON Krishna conscious devotees to participate. In other words, this is what you experience today here in this Byron Bay beach is actually in miniature, not different than what you could experience in India. This is a ceremony that's been going on for thousands of years. Of course, they may not have the Manta Rock there, but anyway, we have to supply everything to satisfy and please all the Australians. But the chariot is the same style. These deities are the same deities. Everything except even on Puri is also on the beach. Although there the rath doesn't go on the beach exactly, but it goes nearby. So this is an original cultural spiritual event. Now when the Lord Jagannath is taken down, then Lord Chaitanya started to cry out to receive the Lord. He started to cry a welcome. It was in Orissa, and it meant all glories to you, you greatest personality. It's a word, maybe you can repeat. Money man, money man! Money man, money man! And this way he was greeting Lord Jagannath, receiving him with his traditional or recent welcome for a great personality. Then Lord Chaitanya, of course, he would be dancing in front of the chariot. He divided up his devotees into seven different kirtan groups. Today we had one kirtan group. In those days they didn't have amplification. What they did is they would have three, four singers all sing in unison. They would have the drummers playing in unison. They'd have a dancer in the front leading the dancing. And then this way there'd be a whole group of people, would be one kirtan group. So while one group of people would lead the singing with one lead singer and three backups to echo his voice. And then everyone else would respond. So this way he created seven kirtan parties all around the rath, the chariot. All around the three chariots. There's one chariot in India for each of the three deities. Here we have one chariot. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he was a child, he always heard about this festival, and it was his lifelong dream to go to Jagannath Puri. And he used to say, he used to calculate when he was a child how much it cost to go to Jagannath Puri by train. He'd look in the train schedule. And he'd be thinking, you know, how nice it would be to go to Jagannath Puri. So when he was 6 years old, his father He asked his father, I want to have my Rath Yatra chariot. So his father built him a miniature Rath Yatra about 10 feet tall, had small deities of Jagannath. And then Srila Prabhupada, they got a kirtan group to chant Hare Krishna with madrangas and drums and cymbals. And with all his childhood friends, Srila Prabhupada, as a six-year-old child, he was observing the Rath Yatra festival in the streets of Calcutta. And he was doing this every year through his childhood. And it was a big festival he'd organized, planned, just like you organizing here, feast for everyone, cultural event. So he would also, Prabhupada, as a child, be organizing, we have to have a feast, feed all my friends, feed the public, feed everyone. And his father would be organizing all the things. So Srila Prabhupada, he instructed us, because I've been living in India for now also 25 years, and Srila Prabhupada said, since I was born in Calcutta, our founder, Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya, spiritual master, he said, I want you to have Rath Yatra in Calcutta. And it should be the biggest Rath Yatra in the world. So we have Calcutta has the advantage because there's 10 million people living in Calcutta, where there's only a few hundred thousand people living in Jagannath Puri. So everybody has to go to Jagannath Puri. So they get about 500,000 people coming every year simply for their Rath Yatra festival. Well, if we can get 1 million people coming out of 10, that was our goal. So gradually we had Rath Yatra year after year. The problem was that in Jagannath Puri, in the place where the Rath Yatra festival is held every year, since thousands of years, they have a road that's about 250 feet wide. It's 2 kilometers long, and it's a straight road, and they just pull the carts along the straight road until it reaches its destination. There's no overhead wires. There's no tram lines. There's no difficulties at all. Also, here in the beach, you don't have any of these obstacles. But in Calcutta, we have tram lines, electric lines, we have park cars, we have narrow roads, wide roads. And so to move the chariots and these roads required to import Western technology. Well, this technology was already developed in America, where the Rath Yatra has been held for 26 years, 27 years, 28 years in San Francisco and in other places all over here in the West. And there, Jayananda Prabhu, he had designed this telescopic Rath Yatra to deal with the overhead wires in San Francisco. They have tram cars also, cable cars. So he designed a telescopic Rath. I think this Rath here is also telescopic, but there's no overhead wires, so we didn't have to use the telescoping function. But in the West, this was designed, so we imported that to India and had the first telescopic Rath in India. In fact, the people are so enthralled, sometimes there's no overhead wire. They say, can you just stop and bring it down and up again? We like to see it go through its telescopic function. So we took the chariots in the streets of Calcutta. Since Prabhupada gave this instruction now for, I don't know, it must be about 20 years now or 15 years. And gradually the Rath Yatra festival has increased until now we do get every year over 1 million people. And we have one day the chariot going, stays in a festival for 7 days, and then comes back again on a different route to the origin of the Rath Yatra deity. So in this way, we find there the people, they're not shy about coming and pulling the chariot. They're already trained up. In fact, even old ladies, they all know, if I can pull this chariot of this Lord of the universe, Jagannath, Jagat means universe, and Nath means Lord. So Jagannath means Lord of the universe. If I can pull the chariot, I'll get a very huge blessing. I'll be able to go to Jagannath in the future, after the end of this life. So you'll find that even old ladies, young and old, everyone comes and they want to touch the rope. Even for a second, they just want to touch and pull the rope and get the blessing. So this becomes, but the young people, they're so fired up that you get hundreds of young people when it's time to pull the chariot, all at one time, they don't pull, they just lunge forward and they yank, and they're all chanting, Jai Jagannath! Jagannath Swami ki! Jagannath Swami ki! And they're all pulling the chariot at full speed. So what happens is that the chariot is going so fast that we have after all kinds of people watching out for people that might fall down, old ladies that were touching the rope and might get tangled up in their saris. We have to have air brakes. We have to have people in front of, like in the Tokyo subways, you have people to push them in the subway. We have to have people with sticks at the head of the ropes to slow the people down in case we get a red flag. Everyone stop, air brake, stop the people in the front. We have to stop within 5 feet because someone might have fallen down. And then it'll be a very, you know, the ruts go forward about 20 miles an hour. And then they run with the ruts. It's just incredible. We've cut the ropes down to make it so that not so many people are pulling, but still they have unlimited energy. In fact, sometimes you put the air brakes on, if you don't stop them from pulling, they literally pull the chariot 6 inches right into the asphalt of the highway. Later on, the municipality comes and says, listen. So that's the kind of enthusiasm we're getting in Calcutta, all by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And for the centennial, Prabhupada's centennial is 1996. Of course, they're planning biggest ever Rath Yatra festival. And every year they're having Rath Yatra. One of the highlights of the Rath Yatra was after the devotees in the Soviet Union were freed from the persecution by the help of the Australian Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, at that time. He went and talked to Gorbachev and said, well, Hare Krishna devotees are nice people. Why don't you release them from your prisons? The only reason they were arrested is because we were chanting Hare Krishna. So Gorbachev released the Hare Krishna devotees, and Gorbachev signed a declaration of, sent letters to all his consulates and embassies telling him that now Hare Krishnas are okay, no problem. He recognized us as a religion in that time it was the Soviet Union. So we invited the consul general. We invited the ambassador, and he sent a consul general on his behalf of the Soviet Union at that time to sweep the road in front of Lord Jagannath, following the tradition of the king. And in Calcutta, even today, we still have a communist government. It's an elected CPM, communist, Marxist, Lenin government. That's their official, the party's name. So when the Soviet Union at that time, which was still red, was still communist, the ambassador's representative went, offered the aarti with the flame before Jagannath, swept the road before Jagannath. Literally, the ministers and the local communist government fell off their seats. They couldn't believe it. One of them couldn't resist. He said in a newspaper, what has gone wrong with the Soviet Union? And this way, they're not going to be communist anymore if they do this. Of course, little did he know. By the blessing of Jagannath, everything is possible. But we explained how Jagannath, this is why even communist or capitalist, whatever you are, Lord Jagannath is Lord of everyone. He's coming down on the street with a common man. What could be a more suitable when God is coming down to the people? So you should be happy. It's a good festival. So in this way, it was going back and forth for 2 weeks in the newspapers. They were trying to debate the whole matter. In the end, Srila Prabhupada was victorious, as usual. Srila Prabhupada ki! So in this way now we have, I don't know the exact count, but I think over 50 Rath Yatras all over the world. This year I was very fortunate to be in Rath Yatras in 6 continents of the globe. This is finished off the 6th. I didn't plan it that way, but somehow it worked out. In Asia I was in Calcutta. In North America I was in Atlanta. In South America, Rio de Janeiro. In Africa, in Durban, South Africa. And in Europe, I was in London Rath Yatra. There were many other Rath Yatras I was also, but I was just like 6 continents. And Madhavitsa Prabhu, he brought up that this is such a wonderful family we're in. This is a worldwide Krishna conscious movement with millions and millions of followers all over the world. And everywhere you go, you find one big family. Everyone is chanting the same mantra. Lord Chaitanya had predicted the whole world will be filled with this chanting, with this vibration, and this can create a peace in the world. My friends, if we look in the world today, we see that what do we need most of all but peace? We see that in Bosnia, we see in so many parts, Somalia, people all over the world are killing each other based on what? Some people blame it on religion. Some people are blaming it on race. But the real thing that is actually responsible is a lack of higher spiritual consciousness. People are in bodily consciousness. They think they're the body. If we're born in a particular family or born in a particular religion, we think we identify this is my body's identity. We have to get a beyond body consciousness. We have to come to the transcendental vision. We're the living force in the body. We're all parts of one Supreme Godhead. There may be different ways that people worship the Supreme Godhead. We should respect those different paths. But there's only one Supreme Lord. Just like one time I was in Bangladesh with a group of devotees from about all the six continents, and I asked each of the different people, about 17 nations, to name the word water in their country. And then different people, they said vata, agua, aqua, and so many different words for water, tani, pani, and so on. And then I said, now you say the name of God in your respective language. And then someone from Arabia said Allah, and then someone in English said God, and someone in German said Gott, and then somebody in Spanish said Dios. And they went around the room and they had all the different words, and then someone from India said Krishna. So the point is that there are so many different words, but the personality of Godhead is one. There's only one Godhead, and we are all part of his transcendental family. We're all his children. We're all his devotees. And in this way, the whole world, if we have a spiritual vision, which comes about naturally by chanting the names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare, then we can actually have the world peace that people are looking for. So sometimes we're asked, what are you doing? What's your social contribution? And we have many, of course, practical activities we do, feeding the poor, having drop-in center for drug counseling, and so many other different practical social problems that we are trying to help the community in solving. But the overall root problem that we're facing is a lack of God consciousness, a lack of spiritual consciousness, a lack of spiritual vision. And these kind of festivals that are organized here and all over the world, where we get together, we chant Hare Krishna, we hear a little about our spiritual purpose in life, that actually we're not simply born here to die, but we're actually born here to live eternally. We're born here to transcend birth and death, transcend the cycle of birth and death. But if we don't come up to that spiritual consciousness, then when we leave this body, we forget everything and we start all over again with a new body. We get our second chance. But why do we need a second chance if in this lifetime we can fulfill everything? That's the actual greatest achievement we can get in this lifetime, is to completely achieve all of our perfections now and have our eternal life after this life and not come back to another material birth where we again have to go through the whole birth suffering, diseases, pains, anxieties, and everything. Now, I read in the newspaper when I was flying here something about Australia that I didn't know. It said that from the age of 15 until 44, the major cause of death in Australia is suicide. That although people, I see you people are happy people, it seems, you look very handsome, very beautiful, good health, everyone's on the beach, but they said a lot of people are suffering frustration. And due to this frustration, they don't see any way out. They commit suicide. You see what they do in India when you feel frustrated? You become a monk. You surrender to God. So leave material life, but don't leave your body. Because if you kill your body, then your subtle body is still alive. And you wander around in the world like a ghost until your normal body would have died anyway. So committing suicide is a horrible thing, and it doesn't really solve any problem. And actually, so what we may be able to have a very good cure for that problem, which no one else has come up with yet. If you chant Hare Krishna, literally, you feel so good, you won't feel like ending your life. You feel like, why, what's wrong with living? The problem is that how to get people to chant. Well, we hope that Ramayana Swami was coming on next. He'll have a good solution how to get people to chant with his rock mantra. If that's the way that will inspire you to chant, we don't mind any way you chant, whether you want to chant silently, whether you want to chant with a rock band, or whether you want to just join with the Hare Krishna devotees singing and dancing. But try this. Doesn't cost you anything. It is a sublime cultural way, spiritual way of bringing out our full spiritual potential. Every one of us has got a spiritual potential that is just waiting to be realized. And there's no reason to be frustrated in this world when Krishna is giving us unlimited happiness from the spiritual platform. We can get it any time, anywhere. Even Haridas Thakur, he was arrested one time for chanting Hare Krishna. He was put in the prison. He continued to chant Hare Krishna. And all the prisoners said, "Why are you happy? You're in prison. You should be suffering. Why are you so happy?" And he said, "What do you mean? All of you are free. All of you can be liberated even while you're in the prison. And they, well, don't joke with us. We're prisoners. Don't play around with us. How can we be happy here? We're suffering." He said, "No, you should understand that the whole world is a prisoner." But they don't know it. They're a prisoner of their misconceptions, their conditionings. They don't know that they're a prisoner of so many material conditionings in this world. If they would, but you are being a prisoner in a prison, you know you're a prisoner. So this is a better opportunity for you to liberate your consciousness by chanting this Maha Mantra. Maha means great, and Mantra, Mon means mind or consciousness, and Tra means liberate. So this is a mantra to liberate your consciousness. You can be free even mentally. Your consciousness can be free even while your body is locked up in this prison. So you got all the prisoners to chant right in the prison house. And while they're all chanting, they all became completely happy. They were all chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now nowadays, I think in all week prisons are supposed to be rehabilitation centers, and probably the people should be happy that they were all being rehabilitated. The prisoners were becoming very sincere people, very happy people. But in those days, the king didn't really have so much an idea. Really, he thought rehabilitation meant they should really suffer, and when they'll learn their lesson, and then they won't do the crime again. So when he heard everybody was happy in the prison, he became very angry, called Haridas Thakur, and said, "What are you doing? I put you in jail because you were chanting Hare Krishna, even though you were born in another religion, and now you're getting everyone else to chant. So why don't you stop this chanting?" And Haridas Thakur said, "I can't." "And what's wrong?" "So what's wrong if we chant the names of God that we have faith in? I believe in this particular name, but all names are holy. But if we chant the name that's in Sanskrit, the original language of the world, we chant Hare Krishna, and in this way, if we're able to bring out love for Godhead, what is wrong with that?" And that time, then the king thought, he was a Mohammedan ruler at that time in India, he thought, "Yeah, well, I guess it's not that bad." But then his priest, the Ayatollah, he said, "Look it, if you allow this, then your whole kingdom may convert back to Hindu, that you already converted from Hindu to Muslim." So then he said, "All right, okay, then you cannot chant." "No, it is not allowed." Then Haridas Thakur said, "Even if you cut me in little pieces, if you cut me into small, small pieces, but if there's still one piece left, it's going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So at that time, Haridas Thakur was punished. Actually, he was given the punishment that he will be whipped to death in 22 marketplaces. Now, this whipping is so intense that nobody can survive even one or two of these whippings. Now, Haridas Thakur was taken, and each of the public people, children, women, and people are coming forward. He says, "Saintly person, why are you whipping him?" They said, "No, it's the order of the ruler. We have to do it. And they pushed the people back. The police who came, they were publicly whipping him in each marketplace. But somehow he kept praying that Krishna, these people do not know what they're doing. Forgive them for their sin. They don't know what they're doing. And this way, the Lord came and he actually protected Haridas Thakur from the brunt of all the whipping. So after 22 marketplaces of whipping, he wasn't dead. The executioners were sitting there crying. He said, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Why are you so frustrated? He said, why? Because you're alive. You didn't die. What's wrong if I'm alive? If you're alive, we're going to get killed. We were supposed to execute you. We couldn't do it. So now we're in big trouble. He said, you mean if I die, you'll be happy? And he said, we'll be very happy. Please die. So okay, then he laid down and he went into Samadhi. And for all observable reality, he was dead. No breathing, no heartbeat. And they were jumping for joy at the execution. They were so happy. They brought the ruler, see, we killed him, he's dead. And then the ruler, they tried to get rid of his body. They tried to throw it in the river. He wanted actually to just bury it, but his ayatollah told him, don't bury the body, don't burn it. He may have peace. You should throw it in the river and let the jackals and the crows eat the body and his soul wander and suffer. He was a very heavy personality. So finally, after great effort, Haridas Thakur became very light and they threw him in the river and he was like floating on top of the water. When he touched the sacred Ganges water, he came to consciousness and swam to the other side. On the other side he was chanting, Haribo! 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 And the king, he was amazed. He says, he's alive. He's resurrected. He's resurrected from the dead. He immediately ran to the side of the river, got a boat to take him across the other side, and he ran after Haridas Thakur. His priest also followed after him. When he got to Haridas Thakur, he fell at the feet of Haridas and said, you are a great saint. I committed so many offenses by misunderstanding you. His priest came and said, I don't want to listen to you anymore. No, no. You've misguided me. But the priest also fell at Haridas Thakur's feet and said, please forgive me. I have also committed grave offenses against you. He said, I'll forgive both of you if you simply chant this Hare Krishna mantra and don't obstruct anyone in your kingdom anymore to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. After that, everyone was chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That Haridas was a great devotee of Jagannath. He spent the final days of his life living in Jagannath Puri. We heard he also, his body was bathed, when he left his body, was bathed in this ocean. So this ocean is sacred because it has the dust of Haridas Thakur. In this ocean water, Lord Chaitanya declared, whoever bathes in the ocean remembers Haridas, he will get a special blessing. So all of you are here fortunate to be in this Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, to be here by the side of the holy ocean, where Haridas Thakur's body dust is mixed. And we hope that all of you will become very happy by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please take the Krishna Prasadam, the holy foodstuff. Any question, consult with any of the devotees that are here. They'll be happy to answer your questions. I know you're eager to hear the mantra rock, so I'll end my discourse here. Hare Krishna.